The following program is rated M16+. Parental guidance recommended.
Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events, and you're listening in to DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talk back show, and today I have comedian Carl Legacy. Hi.
You said you weren't going to be good at it. That was amazing.
Oh,
what do you mean? That was straight in it.
Thank
that was
you.
Fucking sick. I thought I was listening to the radio for a minute. I almost got bored. I was going to change this to Spotify.
Aww.
Oh, no, it's real. thanks for having me, though. This is sick in the
so
studio.
It's so good to spend some time with you because you were planning to leave to Sydney.
I was, yeah.
Yeah,
I was planning on leaving back to England, back to Sydney, and then Sydney's going to shit, isn't it? Quite frankly.
It has.
I'm just winging it now.
Yeah, it's a bit sad, so shout out to everyone in Sydney. I hope you guys
shout
are all right.
You fucking idiots. Shout out to Rory Lowe, I've swapped with him because he's in my house in Sydney now.
Oh, no
so,
way.
Yeah, so I just swapped with him, so fuck you, Rory, you idiot.
So he's in Sydney?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Moved into the Laugh Mob Mansion.
Wow. Yeah. Rory, come home.
Football, come home. Fuck Rory.
I learned something new again about you, actually, just before the show. I learned that you don't like coffee.
It's 9 inches. What? no, I
don't. Too much information.
Sorry. My God, it's an audio podcast.
That's his, forearm, by the way. Nothing else.
Oh, yeah. Nah, definitely not. I don't drink coffee, nah.
Why?
The reason I got into comedy is for the lions. Reason I didn't get it, and for the smiles on those children's faces or whatever. I got in it so I can wake up whenever the fuck I want to do it. And then coffee kind of prevents me from sleeping, I guess. And I don't really like the taste of it. I like to smell, when girls get espresso martinis, I'll be like, oh, let me smell that. So I like to smell that bit. But I also like to smell, of petrol as well when I'm at a gas station.
Germany not the same since they took the lead out.
So it's not. Your petrol smells different than it is in England. Like in England, it's like, oh, this is sick. Not like proper huffing it, but you know what I mean? Just a nice little smell when you're pumping gas. And I guess I used to do closest thing to coffee, I guess. Red Bulls, during the Fringe when I got seven shows a night or something, I'll smash some Red Bull or something like that before my solo. Just sort of carry me through to the end. But yeah,
Red Bull makes me coffee. Feel a bit sick, actually.
That's the thing.
Too much sugar.
You can't do it every day.
No.
And with the festival, you are gigging every day. So it was So literally, Gatorade's you always see me with a Gatorade or a Powerade. Gatorade sponsor me, quite frankly. All my shows, I have a Gatorade before and I have a lemonade before I go on. And then that's it.
And it gets you through.
And then I start drinking after the show, yeah.
Yeah. So you don't drink before the show?
I don't drink and smoke before the show, which is outrageous. That Carl Legacy is a professional, but I am. I'm very.
No, but it makes sense because it can hinder your vocals, can't it? And doesn't always.
Oh no, it was more. It just hinders my mind. I'm not as sharp.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? I'll just miss something if I'm riffing or whatever, or the riff won't even start. Never mind, not go anywhere. And then I don't have anything to blame it on. If I bomb, I can be like, oh, well, I smoked today or whatever, or I was drunk or something. I've got no excuse, so I just got to own that shit. That was me. I sucked. So, yeah.
Hey, so how long have you been doing comedy for?
I guess fucking 7.5 years with COVID, almost 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that stupid gap.
And you mentioned Laugh Mob.
Yeah.
I was actually one of the questions I've got for you is about them, because you guys usually do a lot of touring and stuff together, don't you?
Yeah. We tour mainly together in Australia, and then they come with me back to England and Scotland and stuff like that. And then we kind of do, Sam will do Europe, I'll do America and stuff, and Reuven will either go back to New Zealand or Asia or whatever. So we separate then a little bit, but it always comes back together, I guess.
Yeah.
They look after me here, I look after them when they're in England and stuff. So,
yeah.
I look after myself here now. I know everybody now, it sounds. But then when it comes to England, they stay with me nan and stuff like that, or my uncle or whatever like that. And then I'll help them get gigs there and shit like that. So it's fucking sound as. Me and Reuben have went from, we used to share a bed on the road, and now we share a bed when we're not on the road, in Sydney. if I crash at that house, you know what I mean? It's just a lad's house, so we're sleeping on couches, but me and him share a bed, we share a room,
yeah.
And we split that. I'm normally away, he's normally away, so I had it for 6 months, which were last July to like December. He was in New Zealand. So I lived for 6 months. So I was living the dream on suite, and then it was fucking sick. So then we went from living sharing beds on tour to save money to like making good money on tour that we didn't have to share beds. But now we're sharing beds when we're not on tour. So I don't know what the fuck's going on. But you know, Ruben is so small, you can't even feel him in the bed. Like, let's see you roll over, and you're like, where the fuck is he? Like, I woke up, and he's like, I was like, fuck, I didn't even know you were in here, lad.
But when you bring girls home, is there four in the bed?
I'm bringing two girls home, you reckon? Ruben ain't bringing none home, so I guess I'm bringing both of them home. But no, we have like not even a rolling system. We just message and be like, oh, I'm bringing a girl back, sleep on the couch or something like that.
Yeah.
Or we'll just try and stay in the girls, I guess.
I know, because so it could get quite.
And then we wash the sheets
that.
Afterwards and stuff. That's a big rule. We got some sheets on rotation. Polite. So yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm all for sharing beds with friends. So I quite often do.
Oh, for sure. In Europe, it's not uncommon for fucking 8 men to share a bed. That's me growing up, me and my cousins. Not like fucking hell.
Yeah.
And then you'd always used to do it when you were a kid, top and tail. Which, yeah. To be like, oh, we're not gay. But that's the gayest way. That's like one rollover from a 69. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't get any gayer than that. And we thought as a loophole as a kid, let's go fucking head to toe. You're like, no, just go top to top. Yeah. What are you talking about?
You're right. It's pretty easy to keep to your side, right?
That's it, yeah. I mean, me and Ruben have woke up to get like facing each other, like, ah, what the fuck? Like, terrified each other and that. Like, this one time in Edinburgh in 2019, the fucking like, RIP to Edinburgh. Well, even I think it's back, but they're doing some shitty online stuff or whatever. We were in there, and it was like, it was a student double bed. So that's like pretty much a little bit bigger than a single, in it, like a twin or whatever, like a picture, like the
like
student accommodation
single.
Yeah, they rent it out for the comedians, and there's like an ensuite in there and stuff like that. So me and him shit, and then Sam had his own one, and Ruben woke up, what I think he was having a night terror or something. And he just woke up and he was like, ah, and then I woke up and I was like, ah, and then he went back to sleep, and I just went back to sleep like a second after, and we didn't remember for like 5 days later. He was like, yo, do you remember the other night when we woke up screaming? I was like, oh yeah, what the fuck was that? Like, so tired, and we were like, ah, ah, and then just straight back to bed. So I've had some weird things like that, but not too crazy, like.
Oh, no, right. My son often sleeps in my bed. He's little, so we're not that little anymore. He's nearly 10.
Yeah.
But he sleeps with his
Ruben,
eyes
he's
open.
He's the same size as Ruben,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's
for a bit of context.
Size.
Yeah.
But yeah, he sleeps with his eyes open. So
what the fuck? Like a serial killer?
It's a genetic thing, and I do it too. So
but how wide?
Not that wide. They're just slitted open, but you can see.
Oh, okay.
You can see like our eyes.
But doesn't the light wake you up then or whatever? Like if someone.
Nah. You can't see other people. It's just when they come in, they already think you're dead. They leave again.
Oh my God. That's crazy. That is. Imagine that. I mean, for the hell. Like, have you freaked anybody out on one night stands or whatever?
Oh, I don't really tend to do the one night stand thing. I just.
You wake up and some guys rolling you up in a carpet or whatever. You're like, what are you? Just napping.
No, I remember in high school, one of my sister's friends had a sleepover, and she started screaming because she thought I was dead, and then I woke up and I went, what's wrong? And she goes, you sleep, she goes, your eyes were open, I thought you were dead.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so
didn't even check the pulse or not.
No,
just
she didn't
dead.
Want to
just
touch
automatically
stick, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Don't want to get your fingerprints on it or whatever.
I didn't do it.
I know. Shout out to Chris Cassidy, one of my best mates from back home. His sister Hannah Cassidy. She was like the first person I'd ever met that sleepwalked properly.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like proper. Like, and obviously we were top and tail in his fucking bed, or I was on the floor or something like that. When he was in his single bed and that. With I remember he had the Anna Kournikova poster. Do you remember that tennis player?
Yeah.
That was sick. And then he had maybe a WWE next to it or some shit. It's all coming back to me. And she used to like, so I'd wake up and she'd be like just stood in the doorway looking at you, but she had like a hair over like the ring girl like that. And then I remember like one time she'd be like, we were watching and she was just packing a bag like asleep. She's like, I'm going on all day. And then she like took a bag and like just went to like the back garden shed with it and like just like stayed in the shed and woke up in the shed like a few hours. Like, yeah, she used to sleep up all the time. It was hilarious. I mean, it was scary as fuck when you woke up and she was just there. But then when you were already awake and just watching her, like she'd come down, we'd be watching TV and we'd be like, oh, what the fuck?
No
but
way.
You can't wake them or whatever. Apparently.
No,
so
apparently
you just gotta let them.
Yeah.
I mean, we were still roasting and making fun of her. And like, she was replying to us. That's the thing. Like, they kind of like, I don't know what the fucking way it is. I'm going to make this up, but maybe sensory deprecation, maybe? Is that a thing? I don't know.
If that's something the context. Like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like the brain's working, but at a low level or something.
Could
I guess sleepwalkers wouldn't remember.
I wonder if it's like hypnosis, hey? You know, when, you know, the kind of comedian hypnosis people that get you into that state. I wonder if it's a similar state.
Oh, that's true, actually, yeah, because you've still got the mobile function, like the body function and stuff like that. And then you kind of just do and
become a chicken and.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Well, she went on all day to a fucking shed. So, yeah. But that's Liverpool for you, that is it. That's what we do. We got a caravan, so.
Yeah. Hey, whereabouts in. You're from Scotland then?
No, I'm from Liverpool, England.
Ah, okay.
But what's, you printed out this but with all the fucking research, but you got nothing.
But, no, I was just wondering because my mum's actually full Scottish, so she's from Edinburgh. But,
oh, nice, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm from Liverpool, northwest, so like. Well, that's it. Northwest, really. Capital Culture 2008. You'll never walk alone. Best city in the world.
You never walk alone.
You'll never walk alone. That's Liverpool Football Club's logo.
Yeah.
So whenever I meet a scouser or especially or another Liverpool fan, you just say you'll never walk alone to each other.
Yeah.
And then they get it. It's sick.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, what made you want to get into comedy then?
I guess, truthfully, obviously, I knew about the fucking the Lions is good, but I never wanted to be a comedian. I wanted to be like a, I went through everything growing up. I wanted to be a football player, obviously, and wanted to be a Formula One driver, then wanted to be a basketball player. I mean, I still do. I've still got hoop dreams right now. I'm still playing basketball every day, hoping to get scouted. 6'1" with great hands. let the record show on black, if any coaches are listening. I wanted to be an actor. Like I was a lifeguard in LA like for 4 months. So I was like trying to crack young Hollywood there because my friend was there like doing acting. I was just doing extra acting work because my hair looks, you know what I mean? I got a bunch of roles of just afro in the background or whatever. Like I couldn't do any fucking lines because I sound like this. Like they were like, can you do any accents? I was like, I can do this and me mum, which is me but more pissed off, you know what I mean? And then, but it was sick. Like I was going to like a bunch of like nightclubs and stuff like that and meeting people. Like I met, that's where I met Russell Brand and shit like that and all these other people. That was cool. And then realised that I couldn't act. And then when I got on stage just to try it, it was like an open mic night thing, and I was like, this is shit. And he was like, you can't do better. I was like, well, now I have to do it. I got up there, and I was like, oh, I can just be myself. So like, it's still the same, the performance aspect of it or whatever, but I don't have to like rehearse lines or, you know, like actually act.
Yeah.
Just fucking be me or whatever.
Just be so, you, yeah.
And it's fucking, yeah. That's it. And I love it. Since then, I was hooked, you know what I mean? The first time. It went all right, and then I bombed like the next fucking 100, but it didn't matter because I was hooked. I just liked being up there and shit. I didn't care if they left or what. No.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what was your biggest learning curve or bomb that you've ever had then?
I've had so many bombs, it's like ridiculous. I don't even know. Like the other day, I bombed yesterday, not at Record Bite, but on a Zoom gig. I don't even know why I done it. Reuben made me do it. Like he woke up, he's like, oh, my friend's company wants this, do it. I'm like, oh, whatever, 150, 10 minutes, I'll do it. And I told you it's going to be awful. And then at the end of it, it was an angry bomb. I was like, well, fuck you. I hope you all get COVID. I hope this company goes bankrupt. Here's Christine Elderfield. See you later. It was another comedian that was on after me, my friend. So I was like, fuck that. So sometimes you don't learn nothing. Actually, I learned don't do Zoom gigs. So that was a
we
that
looked
was
into
most
it
recent.
Last year, NY Vents. We thought, you know, with everything. And I hated it.
I mean, unless you're recording it at like one of your rooms where somebody's on stage with a microphone.
I agree.
And maybe you and some like 10 people are sat in the audience because that's what was allowed or whatever, you know what I mean? Space wise.
You need that audience, but don't you?
You need something, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm on Zoom, I'm crowd working. They don't have the mics on for the first 5 minutes. I didn't even know that. So I'm like bombing and so riffing even harder and harder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, put your fucking mics on. And then, after that. I mean, it was just a terrible idea. We told him it wouldn't have won a work, but he wanted to do it and pay us. So we're like, well, I mean, we'll take your money, but whatever.
How many people were actually watching then?
30, and then, I don't know, about 15 logged off during my set, so.
Wow.
Yeah, but there was no, they were muted mics and they didn't have the camera on, so I'm like, I've got nothing to work with here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So it's funny that you say that, because when I've you know, watch the live shows.
Yeah.
It's like watching TV for me, and it's just I don't feel it. And I need I like to see the audience. I like to see their engagement. Well, I love the way you engage your audience.
When you watch the live shows, that's your version of TV, you said?
Yeah, it feels like TV, and I get bored. Yeah. I don't like TV, so I love live performances, and I love
for sure.
And you do great crowd work.
That's it. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Zoom is like, I mean, that's pretty much my fucking kryptonite, because there's no crowd there, you know what I mean? Especially if they're going to mute and I can't see them and stuff like that. So that was, but then I was like, I do like the challenge as well. Like, that's another thing that pushes me in comedy, especially with me, Sam and Reuven. Like, especially at the start when we were gigging a lot together. Like, I mean, we still do our festivals, but it was competition. So, like, oh, Sam was on that funny fact. I'm on it two more. I got to be funnier than him or whatever. So, it was just like, because I'm a big sports fan. So, I just took, like, I was like, you got to do 50,000 hours of anything to be good. So, I just done that, but with stage time instead of jump shots, I guess.
So did you say 50 hours or
50,000 hours or 50,000, whatever you say, you know, that
that's
that
huge
book or whatever the fuck it is. But so when I'd done comedy, I was like, I'm just gonna do it as much as I can. That, like, in my mind, stage time is king. Like, unless you're wasting stage time, which some people do, maybe not even like doing the same jokes you'd done the night before or whatever, because that's still part of the craft and all that, but like not improving it or taking risks and shit like that.
Kyle, in terms of, you know, bombing, for someone that's starting out new in comedy, what would you, I mean, obviously they're going to bomb at some stage.
Yeah.
What would you recommend?
I say this, I honestly say this to a lot of fucking new comedians, and not even new comedians, just comedians in general. I said, comedy's easy if you don't care about bombing. This is a Kyle Legacy direct quote. Comedy is easy if you don't care about bombing, because that's the worst thing that can happen in comedy, is you bomb. Like, I mean, I guess fucking somebody throws a bottle at you or whatever or something like that, but I mean, it's like, not really, it's nobody's, that's like when you've turned on the crowd. If someone's just a regular bomb, you know what I mean, it's just no laughter, that's all it is. Maybe they're talking shit about you in the cubicles or whatever afterwards, but that's the worst thing. So if you don't care about bombing, then you just become fearless. You know what I mean? Like, I'm lucky that I've done, like, obviously, like, I mean, I just want to do well in the back of my mind, you know what I mean? So that just pushes me to do good. And then I guess I've done a lot of the people that book rooms have now become my friends, because I've done this so many times, so I know they're going to book me even if I don't do that well and stuff. And then people know my style is like taking risks anyway, so it's like, well, it's going to be good, it's going to be bad, you know what I mean? I've just got it to a point now where it's a bit more good than it is bad or whatever. So I would say, yeah, don't worry about it. Like, bombing's, I love bombing. Bombing is funny. Like, Nick's son, he's a fucking legend. Back in the day, he's quit comedy now, but he was sick. He used to bomb on purpose and then come out like a phoenix from the ashes, because that's like, they hated you, they didn't want anything to do with you, and then they love you. So, like,
oh,
that's
wow.
Fucking
so he
sick.
Used to take the crowd down to that level.
So like, he told me and Sam that. So, me and Sam do that a lot. Like, especially when it's our rooms, we're fucking around, 20 people in the crowd. Doing 10 minutes in Sydney or 20. We're just fucking around. You know what I mean? We're starting slow. We're trying to get him offside just so we can bring him back and shit like that.
That's a skill. That's pretty huge, actually.
That's if you can do that, I mean, it rarely ever happens the way you want it to. Like, but. But yeah, just practice. You just get like people always like ask me before the show, you're nervous. It's like, I'm dead inside now. Like, I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, the show's gonna be what it's gonna be. I don't even know what the worst bomb. But even this one didn't even turn me off comedy. It was like, we were doing a Lebanese wedding again. Fucking another one of Reuven's $1 million ideas. you should just have a fucking voicemail on the Laugh Mob that just says, yes, yes, we'll take it, we'll do it, whatever. Because we're like, this is the worst idea. Looking back, we went there. They're all fucking, 75% of them couldn't speak English, like the proper, like, Lebanese, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, old school, like just came over, refused to learn English and shit like that. Well, why would they? I guess they're fucking 80 at this point. And then kids, and then, like, big weddings. This guy, like, obviously big money, you know what I mean? They're on a throne on stage or whatever the fuck like that. Hummus as far as the eye can see, like, insane shit. And then when I'm on stage, like, the groom does that to the best man. They get him off. Like, yeah, so we fucking ruined their special day. But we found solace in that. We were like, that's funny as hell.
Oh, wow. And what about, well, you said, I love the word you just used then as well, fearless. Have you found that doing comedy has been good for resilience and building up your confidence then?
Sure.
You've always been a confident person?
Not really. I guess when I was younger, I guess I wasn't really. I remember when I was super young and that like that. My mum was like, when I was shy, like when I was six or whatever. She, like when we would go on holiday or whatever, I'd be like, oh, go ask that person if he wants to play with me or whatever, or something like that.
Yeah.
She'd tell me, and then I guess when I started playing basketball or whatever, that's what really gave me the confidence on playing sports and stuff like that. Because if you're good at something, then you just fucking, that just makes you feel better, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then with sports, you could, it's hard with comedy, I guess you could put it like laughs per minute or whatever, but in sports you can, you know, if you're doing good, you know what I mean? There's a buddy scoreboard that tells you right there, like you've got individual stats, you've got team stats, like you know if you're doing good or if you're doing bad, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So that was sick. And I guess, and then university actually, when I went there, because I was obviously, as soon as I could leave my mum, I was going to say home, but I was like, my fucking mum, really? I went to Preston, like, it wasn't that far away, like an hour and a half from where I lived in Liverpool, but obviously, like, had to stay there and that's student accommodation. So then on your own, you know what I mean? You get more confidence and stuff like that, and then you're meeting people, like, that's where I started being, like, oh, like, I see my boys every day. Like, I see my mates every day. And with comedy, it's the same, because I'm staying with people on that. So it's like, I kind of just need that. I just need, like, the lads and my mates and that around me, really. Because if you're having fun during the day and stuff and riffing, like, me and Shane having a laugh, that kind of carries over to the gig anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Like, honestly, I play better when I've, like, done a podcast maybe before the gig, or played basketball, definitely. I always, like, if you exercise or whatever, like, because you got the endorphins out, you'll have a better gig. And
I like that tip, actually. I think this is so fucking tips. Really,
I've got so many betting tips as well, if you want, honestly. Fucking, I reckon it's going to be 3-1 England, Italy, but whatever. So do the exercise, a podcast before. And then, because if you're at home alone all day, you know what I mean? You might maybe call somebody on the phone, but you're not actually fucking getting the brain going and stuff like that. Yeah. And that's why I love living with Gareth and Deb and Morley, because Gareth comes back at 4 p.m. and me and him are going at it. You know what I mean? Just roasting each other and shit like that. So it's perfect.
Oh, it's really good. Hey, so is your mum still in UK?
Nah, she's in Boston. Everybody else is back home, yeah.
Yeah, and mum and dad still together then, or?
My dad died when I was, like, one.
Oh, my gosh.
So my mum, like, remarried and stuff like that. But,
yeah, sorry.
Not that long ago, like, 8 years ago or something.
Yeah.
So that's why I started coming out here, because my mum was here, so I was like, oh, okay, well.
That's really cool that she's here. So she met an Aussie man, did she?
No, he's a Scouser. He was, like, one of my dad's best mates growing up as well, so, and they, like, reconnected on fucking Facebook, like, you know what I mean? Like, what Facebook was for, actually.
Yeah.
Now it's all memes and shit like that, but that's what it was meant to be.
Oh, that's really nice. So they get along really well and...
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I mean, they're married, so as well as you can be, I guess, when you're fucking married.
She's happy,
something.
That's the important
thing. Yeah, exactly. I've never seen Jimmy smile, but you know what I mean? I never saw him smile before he met me mum either, so I don't know.
Oh, that's really nice. I'm sorry you lost your dad at such a young age, but that's huge.
That's all right, anyway. I'll find him one day.
Do you have any siblings then?
No, just me.
Wow, okay. There you go.
I've got a bunch of cousins and that, though, so.
Yeah.
And we're close.
Yeah, that's good. And what about, all right, comedy highlight then. What's the best moment you've ever had in comedy?
I don't know.
What's a stand-up moment? Because I have seen you crush generally every single time I've seen you perform. So
yeah, but I don't even know. I guess I'd have to do it by city or something.
Do it by city.
In LA or whatever, like doing the comedy store there, that was sick, you know what I mean? As a comedian, I guess that's just one of the rooms you want to tick off or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the comedy store in like London and stuff like that as well and stuff, which I haven't done, but I've done the one in Manchester and that, so that's just closer. That's store to store. What else in comedy? I don't know. Make it niche it for me. It's too broad.
All right. Travelled all around the world. What is the best city to perform in? Now
we're fucking talking. Here we go. I mean, to be honest, it's just, I mean, obviously, because I'm fucking from Liverpool, I love that place and stuff like that. But Hot Water Comedy Club is probably one of the best rooms in the country. It's like Scousers, we all think we're the funniest in the room. So that means we all want to laugh. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bowler. Don't worry about it. it's the bongs, really. So we're all thick with the furniture room, so that means we all got a great sense of humour or whatever, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's easy, that room is easy. Like, literally, people say, if you bomb there, you shouldn't do comedy.
Wow.
At Hot Water Comedy Club, like, it's so fucking easy, you know what I mean? Like, they're just ready to laugh, like, you'll say anything. So I love performing there, obviously. I love New York when I was there, just like, because you're like bouncing around show to show, so like, oh, that's pretty cool, like you saw that on fucking TV or whatever, Seinfeld back in the day or whatever.
Yeah.
Bouncing around like that was sick. And
Heard in New York, and tell me if I'm wrong or right here, but I've heard that you can go and do gigs all night if you wanted to, because it just runs all night.
Yeah, for sure. I mean the later it gets, the shitter the gig will probably be or whatever, you know what I mean? But yeah, you can do, because I was only there for like, because I'd said more time in Boston and stuff like that, because my cousin lived there and stuff like that, and LA and Vegas, and that in New York, I was just staying with some other comics on couches, so I didn't want to push it that much, so I'd do like maybe 10 days there or something, so I'd just make it work, like 4 shows a night or something, just to cram it in and stuff.
That's just huge, bro.
Yeah.
That's
and
massive.
Then I'd go to Boston, and I mean, I'd be doing a gig a night there, but I'd be playing basketball and like more of a holiday and stuff as well.
Mm.
But I don't even know the fucking best moment in comedy. Maybe I haven't had one yet. I mean, I've just made people laugh, you know what I mean? Everybody's fucking doing that, so.
Sounds like you've had a really good journey, Bart. Like,
oh, yeah, it's been sick, but the weed has also ruined my mind, so my memory's absolutely shot. Like, I honestly tell people, like, I don't remember anything before. Like, I don't remember my 17th or 16th birthday or nothing like that.
You need to start taking journals, and if that doesn't work, photos.
I've got on my phone as well, but my phone is like the way, like when people see my stories, they're like, did you take that on a fucking Nokia 3310? Like, I need a new phone. But my memory's fucked. I try to get those things that Joe Rogan always has, the memory plus things or whatever. You've seen them advertise them or whatever.
Oh, what is that?
It's like these like herbal like mushrooms or whatever, not like magic mushrooms and stuff. I got some after me and my mates in Sydney just got them and that, but they're expensive as fuck. And we were like,
One of my friends has been telling me to take some of those mushroomy things.
These are his version, but there'll be so many different, you know what I mean? Like, there'll
be probably a cheaper version
or something like that. But he's just more expensive because it's Joe Rogan or whatever the fuck.
So,
I might have to look into that again a bit more, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I might figure some. During this podcast that I could actually say, because before I'd done comedy, I got a blowjob off a porn star on the Russell Brand show backstage, but it was only for like 10 seconds because the camera crew fucking cut it out. But her name is Anita Albright, if you want to look it up at home and have a wag to her. Anita Albright, she's sick.
Oh my god. Okay, so was she like scouting for you to go onto a porn with her?
No, this was like, it was just like an audience participation thing. Like, I was just in the crowd at this Russell Brand, Brand X. And then he got me up on stage, and I ended up like, that was the first taste I got of comedy, because I was just riffing with him. And like, I was making him laugh the whole time. Like, they named like the episode after like one of the quotes I said and stuff like that and shit like that. And he got me back for like a second episode, which was dope. But that was even before comedy. So during comedy, I don't even know. Just traveling the world and gigging and that. Like, in probably going to, in 2019, going to Asia, like doing the little Asia tour with my boy Toco, and Glenn Wool was fucking sick because I was staying in this Marriott. Like, hotels I would never be able to afford in to stay myself, like swim up bar and shit like that, like proper ball of stuff, like sick hotel room and stuff like that, because the show was in the function room there in the Marriott and that, like that, like epic, everything's covered, food, all that. Like, you call the room service, like, oh, can I get some water? They're knocking on your door before you put the phone down, like, oh, here you go, sir, and all that. Like, getting called sir as well. Sick, I love that. And then I met this guy from Wolverhampton there. He was like 45 with his missus, and he had it all inclusive, so he was shouting everybody drinks at the swim up bar, like we're all doing shots and stuff like that. And then my friend Toco came, and he was buying us dinner, like, because he didn't care, he paid like it all, he's trying to get his money's worth. So that was sick.
That does sound great, really. Yeah,
that was badass. Yeah, was and then got to see whether I go Burma after that. Like, when would I ever go to Burma? You know what I mean?
How was Burma?
Like, it was, well, I got laid, so that was sick. We were both in the hotel, so we had sex in that hotel. Then we went back to our hotel and had sex, and then I had to leave in the morning early anyway. So it was perfect. I don't even know. That was one of the ones where we didn't even get each other's numbers, Instagram. Like, I think we both knew, like, we're never going to see each other again or whatever it might be.
Just leave it be. It's just a moment thing, like, right?
Yeah, that was it. That was sick.
Love it. All right. It's changing scope of, you know, away from who's giving you blowjobs and laid.
Yeah, yeah, I've just realised most of my good stories. I got laid and my team won.
It ended with an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
What about, who are your biggest influences in comedy then?
I honestly think that, like, my favourite comedians are not my influences. Mm. I was guessing maybe like two of them. Like, my favourite is Dave Chappelle. Like, that's the GOAT for me. Just like Dave Chappelle's show growing up, and I mean, Killing Them Softly is probably my favourite special of all time, just because it was readily available on YouTube. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I watched a lot of Russell Peters growing up, because he was putting it on YouTube and shit like that. You know what I mean? And like with Chappelle's stuff in sections was as well, so you could do that, because he was obviously big, so Americans were just putting it on so everybody else could see and stuff like that. And then the Chappelle show as well, we just had a hard copy, like we all collect the DVDs and stuff like that, old school. So Dave Chappelle's number one. Number two is Todd Barry, because he's done a crowd work tour. So my first Edinburgh, when I was still kind of doing jokes, Sam showed me that, and he was like, don't write jokes for a year, see what happens. Because I could never really write good jokes and shit like that. It was always the stuff in between the jokes. Like, when it didn't go well, I would riff or go to the crowd or whatever. That was funny. That was the funny part of my set. So I was kind of like hoping the joke didn't go well so I could just talk to the crowd. And then Sam was like, you know, you could just talk to the crowd without doing the fucking shitty joke up top.
Kyle, not everyone can do crowd work well. So the fact that you can...
But it's practice. Like, I was shit at first. Like, I've only, like, everybody still roasts me to this day. Like, you don't have jokes, but now they don't know I don't need them. But I mean, like, people know, like, even fucking, like, the lounge and stuff like that. Like, they would never have me hosting all the times they're doing, like, 3 years ago, maybe. You know what I mean? Because I was still up and down. You never knew what you were going to get in that.
Yep.
But now I kind of got it down to a science. I hope.
Like, I watched your little clip recently of Christian and you doing, you know, when you both turned around.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking... I mean, we do that because Christian will do my accent to me all the time, and I don't even realise anymore. Like Hannah's like, you just do that to him all the time. And I'm like, and he's like, yeah, he doesn't even realise. I'm like, I don't really, because I'm used to the Scouse accent anyway. Everybody sounds like me back home, you know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, sick. I was fucking...
And sometimes when you meet people, you mirror them naturally.
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly, so. Christian's great, and my other friend Arnie Pye, who's also an Asian, is sick at doing my accent as well, like almost better than me. So it's like these two Asians have nailed it or whatever. Then I do their accents and I get fucking cancelled or whatever, but whatever. It's bullshit.
Oh, that's funny. What is your creative process like then?
Oh, let me finish off my list. Yeah. Sorry. Dave Chappelle, Todd Barry, myself. I put myself in my top three because nobody makes me laugh like me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Same with you. You know your own sense of humour, don't you?
Yeah,
so,
true.
Like, I didn't put myself in the top two, so I'm fucking still humble. I put third. And then I got Rory Scovel and Lee Evans. So yep. Rory Scovel is to say, what I'm trying to do, I'm crowd work and riffing. He's just all riffing. So he'll come on and just do weird shit. Get him to keep clapping for, like, 7 minutes or something straight and do, like, funny, like, characters and stuff like that. Just do a set, but as German. Like, not even mention it, same set, but as a German accent and stuff like that. And then Lee Evans is like just an English guy that I just grew up on. Like, he was like the fucking, he was Michael McIntyre before Michael McIntyre was like the first guy to be touring and stuff like that. But it's so English and UK, like he couldn't travel. But he was Lee Evans. Do you know him or not?
I know his name. But
he was the guy on crutches and Something About Mary.
And
he was in Mousetrap as well with what's his face, Christopher Walken and that. So I guess my influences for this, my style, would be like Scovel, Todd Barry sort of thing. When it comes to Todd Barry's crowd work, because Todd Barry is a great joke writer as well.
Yeah.
But he's like, I mean, he's just a great comedian. He can do both. Like, that's it. But his delivery works well for crowd work as well, because his delivery kind of pauses and takes a beat anyway. And for crowd work, that's great, because you get an extra 2 seconds to think. You know what I mean?
Mm.
With me, I rush it too much just because I speak fast anyway, so...
But how are you at improv then? Because I think a lot of crowd work is improv of base. So
I've never actually done like proper improv or whatever, like, you know what I mean, like a course or a show or whatever, like fucking Yes And or I don't know what the fuck, but how do you do it? But I guess I would be decent at it or whatever.
Hmm.
But then I also wouldn't be caught dead doing it, so we'll never know.
And, probably naturally doing it without actually acknowledging that you are doing it. So
yeah, that's what riffing is, isn't it? You know what I mean? But without the suggestions, I'm just asking them questions and the answers of the suggestions, I guess.
Yeah, and you just roll off that.
Give me a scene, give me a person or whatever.
Yeah.
The funniest is he does it in, I think it's Ted 2 where they go see improv and he's like, give me a scenario, they're like 9/11, and then he's like, give me a person, they're like Bill Cosby. It's like the worst thing. He's like, no, 9/11 won't work. And he's like, all right, we're in Starbucks. He's like, who's in Starbucks? He's like, Bill Cosby. And it's like, and me and Brett Blake, you know Brett Blake, innit?
Yeah.
So in Edinburgh, he didn't come to the last one, but every year me and him would go to terrible improv shows and heckle.
Oh wow! Would you?
Yeah. So me and Sam like to go to terrible magic shows. Like if you're on at noon and you're a magician or a hypnotist, oh, we're coming. And
oh, really?
We're sitting in the front row and we're participating. And the same with improv, we would just do it to fuck it up. So there's one time Brett had it. They were like, oh, can you record 60 seconds on your phone? Like, just tell us when it's over and stuff. And he didn't even start it. So he's just letting them go. It took them like 4 minutes. It's like, oh no, it's almost there. 10 seconds. They're like stuck in this stupid, little, terrible improv thing for like, the suggestion was terrible for like 5 minutes. Just fucking with them.
Oh, no way.
So that's, because I guess this fucking, it's been since the dawn of time, improv versus comedians or whatever.
Yeah, there is a bit of a divide generally, but...
But I would do anything. I mean, I guess, I want to do clown, and that's what I want to fucking do.
Yeah.
Is do clown and stuff. I mean, I've done a bunch of clowning shows with people and stuff like that, but never actually studied it.
You know, Nadia Collins has done it.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Oh, yeah, she's sick. I mean, Fran as well, she's pretty much doing clown as well, I would say. But yeah, Nadia is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, very, very talented lady.
Did she go to Collier as well?
Yes.
I want to do that, but I was talking to Luke about this last night. And I was like, I couldn't have this fucking 17-year-old French dude telling me I'm not funny. You know what I mean? Because that's what he does. He tries to break it. I'm like, lad, trust me, I know I'm fucking hilarious. All right.
But if you want to do that, and he's 70, you just said, your time's ticking, so...
Exactly, that's true.
You know, don't regret not doing it.
Well, I want to, but it's also... Well, I guess I could still gig there as well, because I just couldn't leave the stage from that. Even though you're performing every day, you're not really doing in front of an audience, you're in front of the class members or whatever, I guess. And I guess they don't want to laugh because they want to seem like they're better than you or whatever it might be. But yeah, I'd do a 3-month course there or some shit for sure. But then I'd have to live in fucking France, and I hate French people and shit, so I don't know.
I love France, come on.
Is it really? What's so good about it? The only good thing I found when I went with the school is firecrackers were legal, and we were throwing them off the balcony at French people.
It's so good there. It's artistic and
creative.
Oh, it's
Paris and stuff like that. But I mean, I'm English, so we hate the French anyways.
I couldn't believe my second cousin. He had never been to France, and I was gobsmacked by that because I was like, are you crazy? It's so artistic and so beautiful. And
oh, for sure.
I love the people there.
I went with the school, so that's where, with the French class and stuff like that. And then because of the firecrackers incident, 15 of us got suspended for 2 weeks. So we got an extra 2 weeks of summer holidays, which was sick. And they sent a letter to me at mum's house, but I ripped it up before she even saw it. So she only found out the last week. So I had 5 weeks of summer holidays not grounded. And then the last 2 weeks I was like, oh, fuck, well, worth it.
Oh, no.
But I think we just hate them because they didn't fucking help us out in the war or whatever, I guess. That's what it goes back to, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah, because you were immediately affected by that personally.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Just because I look Jewish. That's why I got the Jewish afro. So.
Hey, so was it Sam that said to you or challenged you to not write anything for a year? Has that become part of your creative process then? Or?
Oh, no, this was like fucking years ago. This was after the first year that I started, you know what I mean? Because we went to Edinburgh I was in back home anyway, but Sam was going and I just stayed on the couch for like 2 weeks. So we just like, that's what I'm saying. Like when me and Sam started, we were like, we're just going to do it as much as we can. Like there's no point like half-assing it, just fucking do it. And then if we don't like it, then we don't like it or whatever. That was like maybe like the second year and he'd done that, and then after that we kind of like, it wasn't like he was like, oh, the year's up, you can get back to writing jokes. It was like we kind of just both knew, like, oh, I'm not gonna go back to writing jokes, you know.
Wow.
What I mean?
So what do you do now then? You just winger and just.
I got stock lines if like for like students and doctors, fucking electricians, whatever it might be. Mm. I got some stock stuff that I've riffed before, and then your mind just like, oh, we said that 3 months ago. Say that. You know what
okay.
I mean? It's just yeah. all in the back catalogue. And then I got like some stock stuff about like, I mean, just because the lockdown, so you got to have a COVID joke just to address the one that just happened or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just making fun of me nan in lockdown pretty much. I've got some of stuff. Like I got a joke about getting kicked out of a Shaggy concert. My first gay experience doing cocaine and stuff like that. But I mean, I haven't done them in fucking, I don't know, years probably, I don't know.
Yeah. What about you've done a bit of travelling during COVID? Within Australia, you have.
As much as they'd let me.
Have you
I think
that?
It directly correlates to the COVID path. I think that's me. That's how it works. All the places I've been to have got COVID now.
He's not saying that he's passed it to everyone.
No. I'm not saying that whatsoever.
But if there's a chlamydia outbreak, then
I don't know. All right, I'll put my hands up for that one.
But you've been in a lockdown situation yourself. You've had to quarantine in WA, haven't you?
Yeah. When I first come back for the Fringe, I had to do 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you cope with that?
Well, it was. We were lucky because it was a drop everything situation. We were like, obviously, this was mid December and stuff like that. So everything's booked. You know what I mean? Like the registration, the posters, all that sort of stuff's done. And then it hit. So Shid calls us. I remember, like, me and Riven, we were high as fuck, stoned as hell. It was like 3 a.m. And Shid calls. He's like, "Yo, you gotta get over here now." We're like, "What?" Because we're not like watching the news, really. You know what I mean? We're watching fucking, I don't know, Space Jam or something. And then he's like, "We're like what?" And then we start looking it up. We're like, "What the fuck?" I'm like, "Oh shit! All right, let's." He's like. And then he's like worrying us. So we're like, "Oh, what the fuck?" And then we're like, "Okay, well, we can't do nothing now anyway. There's not even a flight or whatever. So we'll just wake up in the morning and we'll resuscitate it then." So we wake up in the morning. It's like, "Okay, we gotta go. We gotta do this." So, and like, I had a girlfriend at the time and stuff like that. So I'm like, "Baby, I gotta leave." Like, you know what I mean? Like, she obviously upset as fuck. Like, we have plans for Christmas and New Year together and stuff like that. And then, what the fuck, someone's calling me now, who's this? Christian. Should we get Christian on the podcast?
Is it going to work through the phone?
Let's have a look, maybe. There we go. Let's see if he listens. Christian, you're live on a podcast, buddy, how are you, lad?
Hello, Christian.
On a podcast, whose podcast
are we live on?
Yvonne's. Hi, mate, Yo-ho's. How you going?
Yvonne's.
Awful, a little bit of bounce back.
Yes. It's bounce back with the talk back.
The accent, who knows who's talking.
We were literally talking about you earlier saying, "He just does my voice to me." And this proves
I know,
it.
It's so funny. That's it's gold.
Yeah. It's perfect. Like, yo, does Kyle ever get pissed off? You always talk in his voice. And I was like, "No, I just legitimately think he's so stupid. He thinks it's an eternal monologue."
Okay, Shay. I'll call you after. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling in, caller. In a bit.
Oh, that's gold.
Literally, that's what I'm saying.
I know.
Like, even if I didn't say he was on a podcast, he would have just started speaking like that anyway. But what was the...
That again? Just proved what we were talking
that's
about.
That's what I'm saying. It's not even wicked. Like, yeah, you can't make this shit up. It's like, he just straight into it without dropping a beat.
Oh, that was so funny. Okay, so, you know, you're talking about how you had to leave a girlfriend and, you know...
Oh, yeah, but we were lucky because we just got in there just before. It was the hotel quarantine, so it was still self-isolated, self-mandated. So we booked an Airbnb.
Yeah.
I guess do a lot of the 2 week quarantine stuff as well. And so it's me, Sam, and Reuven in the Airbnb together. So that was sick. Whole house with a backyard. You know what I mean? We've
That's
all flew
so
in together,
nicer.
Same flight.
Yeah.
So we'd all hang and we couldn't leave, obviously. And we were getting like Woolworths, a bunch of friends were throwing weed over the fence for us and shit like that, which was sick. So I appreciate it. Shout out to them. And so, but the only bad thing is we were in there for Christmas. So my mum was like going to like her husband's place in like by Morley, I think, maybe Bassendine or whatever for Christmas. And so they drove up, so they dropped off like Coles full chicken and stuff like that. You know what I mean? All the stuff.
Yeah.
And we heated it up, so we had a sick roast for the lads. Like I cooked it. Well, I mean, plated it up at that point. You know what I mean? And then And then New Year's Eve as well. And like, so we were like fucking just getting hammered, you know what I mean? And like, we had like Jimmy Brings, and then we were playing beer pong and stuff like that. And we were just filming a lot. Like, I'm just lazy in general. So, but I was so bored. I was like, yo, do you want to film something? And they were like, you must be bored if you want to do work. And I was like, yo, trust me, I do. So like, kind of like that 2 weeks was great because we had a lot of work to do anyway before the Fringe, you know what I mean? Even then we were like, is it going to go ahead and all that shit? We were shitting ourselves, but we were like, we got to roll the dice, so we had a lot of weight. So that was probably good for us, because if we both all just came to Perth, if we just all came to Perth when we wanted, I would be off playing basketball, Sam would be seeing friends, Ruben would, you know what I mean? Like, for the first few days, it would go AWOL, really, even though we'd say to ourselves, oh, we got to work, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Comedians at the end of the day. So, so that was actually pretty good, in terms of that. I mean, apart from that. But it's like just one for the...
Sounds like you guys cope really well together.
We were filming like skits after skits after skits. Like, did you see the video I put out where I was like crowd working my kitchen?
Oh, I could have.
And I was like just crowd working like the kettle and stuff like that, just walking about and stuff like that, just weird shit. So that was funny. And then we were obviously working on show ideas and stuff like that to finish off writing the fucking shows, because we just come up with weird ideas, Harry Potter versus Lord of the Rings, all this stuff. You know what I mean? Who's this fucking calling?
It's great. I love it.
Oh, this is. Sam's girlfriend's calling me now. I don't know what that is, but I'll have to call her back. That can't be a good sign if Sam's girlfriend's calling me. I spoke to Sam yesterday, though. He's alive. I'll call him back anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit into the podcast. Sam's girlfriend.
I hope Sam's fine, because that's weird. Why would his girlfriend be calling me? That's random.
I don't know.
Maybe he's calling me off of their phone or whatever. But so it worked out in the way. And then it's just funny, I guess. Oh, I don't like Christmas and New Year and lockdown, you know what I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, we've done the countdown together and shit like that. So
I've had, whatever. I mean, Perth's been relatively good with COVID, but I've had two birthdays in lockdown.
Oh, like, that sucks. When's your birthday?
April 24th. 2 years in a row I've been in lockdown.
Oh, because April 24th, was there another 5-day one here, was there?
Yeah.
It's
been crappy. It's not annoying, isn't it? So I'm like, oh, I'm a bit over it.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, I guess you still your birthday with the kids and stuff like that or whatever.
I still did a meal
in the house or whatever, I guess, but not the same, yeah.
Being a people person sucks. I love people, so you know, I'm not a stay at home sort of person. I'm like, get me out of this place.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah. And then you kind of think like, because that's what everybody's saying. Because I'm 30 on the 21st. Big announcement, 21st of July. Actually, why am I doing this? I want to invite my friends. I'm like, what the fuck? Actually, comedians will be listening to this, so yeah. But I'll send you the Facebook invite. 21st of July, it's just Wednesday, upstairs, Universal Bar.
Yeah.
I'm having food, I've got a tab going, I'm getting the big Subway platters. There's a roast of Kyle Legacy, so there's a mic, anybody can get up and roast me.
Wow, is that your birthday?
Yeah. I've also got a midget stripper as well, but keep that on the down low. Because legally we're not allowed to have it up there, but the guy is like that sound. She's a friend of a friend, so that's going to be sick.
You can for private parties, but it does depend on their licensing. So
Exactly.
Interesting.
If that doesn't work, then I think I've got an Airbnb that weekend anyway with just the lads. I guess I'll get a day or something.
But
everybody's like, oh, it's your 30th, if you got to do something big. I'm like, well, now I got to. You know what I mean? So I'm like, it's just easy to do at Universal Bar because it's a Wednesday, so where else are we going to fucking go?
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? And I want the aspect of the comedy show. I'll probably do the roast at like 10 p.m. or something.
Yeah.
So everybody's fucked, and we could smoke ciggies up there. I can play my own music. I'll probably have FIFA set up on the TV and shit like that. So it'll be like,
I like that you're doing it late. I'm actually doing Matt Storer's comedy intro course. So
that night?
Yeah. Oh, I've got it for 6 weeks. So
okay. Is that Wednesdays? Is it?
Yeah.
And what time does that finish?
Oh, about 9.
Oh, that's perfect. What I was going to do, because some people would probably come from the lounge, and then I think the Laugh Resort's on Wednesday as well.
Sorry, everyone. We're just organising our social calendar.
People are locking it in on their diary back
home.
But yeah, so I'm like 10, and then, you know what I mean? By the time people come there, like, I mean, I'll be hammered, but who cares anyway? So
it's not
like a show anyway. So
that's your big 3-0.
That's a big 3-0, yeah.
Wow.
And then I'll probably do something again that weekend. Maybe get an Airbnb or go
somewhere.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
That sounds great. Hey, a quick few more questions for you.
Yeah.
What is the dumbest way you've ever been injured?
Injured?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm accident prone, so that's why I'm always curious about other people.
What have you broke? You've broke a lot of.
Oh, heaps! Really? I sprained my ankle, not sprained, I fractured my ankle.
Yeah,
broken my arm in 3 places. Oof. Yeah.
That's brutal. Yeah, I've done both
I'm
legs.
I'm one of those old
arms.
Ladies that, you know, have falls.
Yeah. I've done everything just from basketball, but I guess my stupidest one was when a kid, when I just jumped off from flip down the stairs when I was free and broke my leg, and it was like like whole leg in a cast, and couldn't bend any of it from here all the way to the bottom.
Wow.
Like, yeah, for like the whole summer.
So you were a kid, you don't have pins in your leg then, or you don't?
No. Because it was
lucky.
Something to do with the, I think it was just the right age
kid,
or whatever,
think,
yeah, exactly. So that was probably the dumbest, and any other ones are just basketball stuff and shit like that, and I'm crazy, yeah.
Wow.
I guess like when I was younger, like taking chase from the police or whatever, I think I fucked up my wrist jumping over a fence or something like that.
Why
or whatever.
Were you getting chased by the police?
Oh, because we were just doing this dumb shit. Like we used to just like take people's wheelie bins and set them on fire
in
the local park and stuff. Yeah, nothing too exciting. Bored and fucking Aylward.
Gosh, yeah, we used to do some pretty naughty.
And like knock a door dash. You know what I mean? Like what the fuck.
When I was a teenager, I didn't, full disclosure, so no one can bust me for it, but I was there, so, you know, I was a bit of an accomplice.
You were an accomplice, yeah?
Yeah. But dry ice, and they used to explode toilets with dry ice. Don't try it at home, kids.
What do you mean? What's dry ice?
You know
dry
ice, so you know the thing that does little smoky things?
Well, you spray the stuff that you spray on the car to get the windscreen off.
So dry ice is like something that you can buy from the ice works.
Yeah,
and if you put it with some water in a confined area, so like a water bottle.
Yeah,
it will actually explode because it creates a gas.
So you pour it in the toilet, put the lid down, and then just fucking back up.
I didn't. Other people did.
Whose toilet?
I probably
public
shouldn't.
Toilets? Yes. Yeah, that's true. Nobody's doing it in their own house, are they? Obviously, what the fuck, yeah.
Yeah.
What, that's mad. That's
badass
than me. I was just throwing eggs in people's houses. There's nothing. You just wipe them off. Destroying an ensuite.
Do you know, driving around when we were teenagers as well, we used to have people that would egg the cars. That's the worst thing ever to get on your windscreen. So dangerous. You wipe and it just smears everywhere.
Ah, that's true.
It's so
crap. But I mean, the house is parked. It's not going anywhere, so
true.
It doesn't matter.
Eggs are a bit stinky, but as well.
Yeah, that's
if
true.
You don't get it clean.
We never really done the toilet paper. I feel like that was an American thing, you know, the toilet paper or whatever.
What's a pet peeve of yours then?
A pet peeve of mine? A pet peeve? No, that's good. What do you mean by a pet peeve? What's
something
that
really bugs you? Like Perth drivers are pretty crap.
Okay. Oh, I know. I know what you mean. Like the Jews or something like that.
I guess. Do they bother you?
No. I guess. What bothers me is like if I'm playing basketball during the day and I lose the last game, that'll ruin my night.
Really?
Like the other night, yeah. Like on Thursday, I even had a bad show. I was like, oh, "Fuck, this ruined my day, boys." But I gotta go. I was running late anyway. So I was like, "Fuck." So that'll do my head in because in basketball, you always want to leave on a make. So you should never leave unless you make like a shot in a row, or if you're with someone else, two shots in a row, or something like that.
Yeah.
So me and Shin will be there for like another extra hour, just trying to get two threes in a row. We're like, "Fuck's sake!" After you're fucked or whatever. That's a pet peeve for me. Like, I hate fucking leaving on a loss, which fucking sucks.
Not fair enough.
What's another pet peeve of mine? Not really, to be honest. Nothing really bothers me. My friends always say, especially Chris, says I'm too dumb to be sad. So I'm like, I'm kind of easy going, I guess, yeah.
Okay, nice compliment.
Yeah.
Hey, what's...
Fucking man buns, I guess, maybe, or something like that.
Buns.
You know what I mean? Like, that's fucking weird as hell, like, but...
Not into it.
Yeah, and fucking people that don't wear, I guess I've got a few, people that don't wear fucking shoes as well, that does my fucking head in, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's like, just wear flip-flops or something.
Inside their own house?
Oh, do whatever you want then,
okay.
But I mean in the street, it's like, what the fuck, you don't know where you're stepping on and shit, there could be glass there and all that, like Rory's do it all the time, I mean he still does, he just does my fucking head in.
I do the mum thing to people and... You know, I look and I'm like, shit, there's glass there.
Yeah.
Sorry, drunk. Please put your shoes back on.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Where the cotton caddy in the heels. And I love that.
Yeah. I can't. I've done that too, but. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever sent an SMS to the wrong person?
Of course.
What? As bad as anything?
probably dick pics, maybe to the wrong person, but only like, not like to the wrong girl, like to my boys, and then be like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh shit, sorry, I meant to somebody else. But then that's just funny, I guess. And I'm like, I've posted one of my story by accident because I clicked on the wrong thing. Yeah, but it was only up there for like maybe 10 seconds. I don't even think anyone saw it, or maybe two people saw it, but I was like, well, never message me about it. I know, but I'm terrible with technology and shit, so and I would have been high or whatever. But apparently girls don't like dick pics anyway. But the funny, I send them to like...
I won't say we don't. I'm not going to talk about my exes.
No, I send them to my exes, but I send them... That's why it didn't matter when I sent it to my friend by accident, because it was funny. Like, I like draw stuff on it or whatever. Like, me and my friend in Sydney at the moment, she sends me a tits and I make them look like sloths, and then she makes my dick look like sloths. I don't know why. She just sent the first one, and now I'm like a slough off. So it's like I've got a weird bunch of weird bodies with tits that looks like sloths. So I'd send funny dick pics, like I'll just like do an afro on the end of the dick or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's kind of making it fun, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. Like some people, oh my gosh, dick pics, no. All right, so I always think, you know, if it's not asked for, don't want it. Like, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. But the, oh my God. Yeah, you get sent them. And I'm a bit of a chest and arm girl, so send me that anytime.
Yeah, yeah.
But
chest and arm. Oh, you mean like bicep?
Yeah.
Bicep. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Great arms. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Awesome.
Okay.
But there's nothing pretty about a dick.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's it. Exactly. Yeah, that's it. Like, yeah. I've never sent one.
What am I supposed to do with that?
I've never, unless we're having, like, I guess we're having phone sex or whatever, where it's like you're sending a bunch in and back like that. I've never sent one where I'm like, oh, this is going to turn on. It's more like, how can I make this funny? You know what I mean? Like, she started it, now I have to, like, she'll send me a tits, now I'm like, gonna send a funny one back, and then she'll probably send a funny one, and then it just goes from there, I guess.
Yeah. But that sounds fun.
Yeah, exactly. So I just do fucking stupid shit, I guess. But an SMS, I mean, who even fucking sends texts anymore? I don't know. You gotta update your references.
You've already kind of, you know, the story, dick pic on the story. That's just amazing. Like,
what's your, cool. Why, who have you texted by accident? Have you texted, like, dirty talk to somebody by accident or something?
No, mine's been, it was when I was on a committee, and I think one of the presidents, who I didn't know that very well, at the time, I sent her like a romantic kind of thing that I was meant to be sending to my husband. Luckily, she had a good sense of it. It was nothing bad.
Okay. Oh, well, that's all right. Especially if you just follow it up with, if the text straight away, it's like, oh, didn't mean to send that. You know what I mean? Then it's like, okay, well.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, she's actually a friend, so it's all right. She just laughed at me, and now now I'm at the stage in my life I tell all my friends I love them anyway, so it's not right, awkward. Yeah. So, okay, what's the best advice that you've been given?
What comedy aside, general, in
anything.
General?
Yeah, in life.
Maybe not the best, but this is a piece of good advice. It's like, just fucking be nice. Like, Jonah Hill made a living in Hollywood of being nice. Obviously, he's a good actor, you know what I mean? But he's like fucking this fat guy, like, and then now he's like a bit skinnier, I guess, and he's with doing movies with Brad Pitt and, you know, DiCaprio and that. It's just like, just be a nice guy, fucking, I guess, do the little things, like fucking be on time to a show, you know what I mean? It's not that hard, like, just fucking do it. Be a professional and that.
I actually like that, Kyle, because I think, you know, being nice is not necessarily being walked over, but it's, you know, if you're kind to people, it does serve you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm still a fucking dickhead, obviously, like, but I'm saying I'm a nice dickhead, so it's like, who cares, whatever.
You're likeable.
Yeah, exactly, a likeable dickhead, that's exactly it. So I'd say that, and then, I don't know, tip your waitresses, I don't know, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Solid advice.
And just quickly, you've got your own podcast.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, fuck yes. Nice, finally. I got that I Want to Meet LeBron James podcast.
Yep.
So if LeBron James, if you're listening, I know you're a big fan of Bounce Back. I mean, Bounce Basketball, it's in the name. I thought this was a basketball podcast. That's why I accepted it. I was like, Bounce Back, okay, we'll be talking about shooting hoops, whatever. the Cleveland Cavaliers 2016 Bounce Back win from 3-1 down, whatever. But yeah, I want to meet LeBron James. So I just was like, how do you do it, I guess. I've been sliding into DMs for years. I was like, I'll make a podcast. So I'm like 76.
Yeah, I really hope you get to. I think if everyone shouts out.
That's honestly like one of, obviously I've got comedic dreams, like whatever, or maybe a late show or whatever it might be, or a sitcom based around me, you know what I mean, the classic stuff. But I mean, my main goal, my dream is to meet LeBron. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I reckon we try to make that happen.
Oh, that'd fuck yes. Awesome, I appreciate right? that. That'll be great. all your connections in Perth, please. Maybe, have you ever texted LeBron by mistake? And he's replied, give me that number.
Just by accident. Yeah. But let's work on that.
So, so every week I get a comedian on. We do talk about basketball and current stuff like that. So if you like basketball, that's sick. And I give a lot of betting advice on it. But the main question at the end is, give me ideas how I can meet LeBron. You know what I mean? Have you got an idea how I can meet LeBron? And normally, sometimes it's a serious answer, sometimes it's a funny answer. You know what I mean? But either way, I take it on board. So, yeah.
Oh, I think it's great. And I know before the show, we were talking about Jenna, who met Oprah. Maybe have a listen to that podcast, because she got to meet her idol. And
So that would be the last episode she released, I guess, would be that one.
I'll find it for you. I'll send it through because, I found that.
She wouldn't be doing any more after that, because you've met her, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like, she didn't do the podcast. It was an ABC one, but they did a whole story on her because of what happened in her journey. She had it on a vision board, actually. Do you do them?
No, I'm not gay. But what's a vision board? I don't know.
Really? So you have a vision board and you'd put him up and that's, you want to see him.
Oh, no, I've got a shrine. So even gay, actually. Yeah,
so you've got a shrine.
Well, no, I have like I got those little big headed things. Yeah. Where I got a little LeBron thing and stuff like that. And then in my bed, in my room in Sydney, my girlfriend used to hate this show, to Calissa. Because I had picture frames and she got them and she put like pictures of me and her in them. But I put LeBron photos of LeBron in there, so I've got one of LeBron shirtless and like AD and LeBron in there and stuff like that.
I swear, have you photoshopped yourself and LeBron together?
Oh yeah, for sure. Look at this, I'll show you right now.
This is a vision board. This is perfect.
Obviously it's for audio and stuff like that, but it's a photoshopped, so it looks
it's
like
all right. I might get you to send it so we can post it.
Yes, definitely. Cause it looks like I'm playing against LeBron.
Oh, that's amazing.
So yeah.
All
so
right.
That's
I want you to send
the movie
that to me.
Trailer. Yeah, I will do that.
That's brilliant. All right. Well, that's the end of the show, but thank you so much, Kyle.
Oh, thanks for having us.
It's been great. So you've been listening to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher, and we've had Kyle Legacy.
LeBron James of Comedy on Instagram as well. I forgot to say that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And where else can people find you?
LeBron James Comedy on Instagram or Kyle Legacy on Facebook and stuff like that.
Awesome.
And the I Want to Meet LeBron James podcast is on all the audio apps, and there's a few video episodes on YouTube and stuff like that. So.
Oh, that's excellent. Easy. And NY Events has a lot of comedy shows coming up, so check us out at nyevents.com.au.
I'm doing yours on the 16th.
You are?
I don't know when this will be out, but Best of British. I like that.
I know. I'm so glad that you're stuck here.
Well, thanks and fuck you.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good day, everyone.
Peace.